gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Well, what do you know about weeds? Probably more than you want to know, right? I know that weeds are growing in my yard and landscape around my house. I know I hate weeds, but I know that sometimes I can't tell which is the plant and which is the weed, which means I am afraid to pull anything in my yard. We know that weeds can be fertile seed producers. Most plants only produce several hundred seeds, but weeds are especially prolific. One single weed can produce anywhere from 10,000 to over 100,000 seeds. With these odds, it's easy to see how weeds can quickly turn over your garden or lawn if left untreated. And so we probably all spend a little bit more time thinking about the ways we can rid our grass and gardens from weeds. Now, some of you have natural products that you mix up to kill them safely. Others prefer bringing in professionals to take care of a larger weed problem. All to say, we think about weeds an awful lot, more than we probably want to, and I'm sure in Jesus' time, they also had a problem with weeds. Likely, that's probably why Jesus is talking about them. They were familiar to his followers. Many of them were growing wheat, and the weeds among their crop were driving them crazy. Ever look across a field of wheat? You can see the weeds quite clearly, but getting rid of them is another matter. And Jesus' remarkable advice when discussing how to deal with the weeds in the field is to let them be. They'll be taken care of on harvest or judgment day. Jesus says the wheat is the children of God, and the weeds are the fake children of God, the ones pretending to be wheat as though by growing up smack in the middle of the wheat field, they'll be mistaken as wheat. Actually, Jesus says they are children of the evil one. The good news is that Jesus describes this field, which is the world, as a field of wheat, not as a field of weeds. That is to say, when Jesus sees the world, he looks out across not a field of weeds or a field of evil ones in which there is wheat growing, but a field of wheat of God's children in which there are weeds growing. And so maybe this can be some encouraging news for us Christians. It's so easy to be discouraged and to believe that evil is all around us, about to overwhelm us. In fact, Jesus reminds us that there are more faithful, more of those who have not bowed to the knee of Baal, more of those whose core values are still biblical ones than we sometimes realize. And yet, growing in our discipleship means understanding the difference between wheat and weeds and what it means to Jesus. The first difference between wheat and weeds is that wheat is always in a row that you planted it, whereas weeds will be scattered all over, especially between the rows. For the most part, wheat will follow the rules. As it were, obey the farmer's commands, they'll grow where the farmer has planted it. And weeds, on the other hand, are renegades, exist all over, obey no rules, and grow wherever they want. Another difference is that wheat pretty much all look the same. The heads with the seeds, the beard, the chaff, and weeds on the other hand are completely different. There are about 250,000 kinds of weeds in the world, much like the different people we see in the world. Now, you could argue that the metaphor Jesus uses in his parable breaks down because Christians are not always in neat little rows and do not look alike, and that point is taken. But for this metaphor, the argument runs this way. Today's Christians might look different, and trying to get them to agree on something is like herding cats. But in terms of the essentials, in terms of core values, Christians are pretty much the same. We do try to attempt to follow the rules, and we live in rows or we sit in pews. And we try to grow where we've been planted. We try to display the peaceable fruit of righteousness. So there's more about Christians that is the same than there are differences that divide. That aside, it's not too hard for us to see the weeds today. Some are really easy to spot. They're the news stories that we read or we listen to on the TV of killers who maim and destroy the innocent, or the greedy who grab and dash with the savings and retirement plans of those who have worked so hard for so many years. We hear about the wicked who prey upon children by gaining their trust and then abusing it. But some weeds are harder for us to detect. They look religious, but their actions range from misguided to despicable. They are the religious people who spend more time demeaning the sinful than welcoming with Christ's love. They denounce anyone who doesn't act in accordance to what they believe Scripture tells us. They are the Christians who love to point out another's failures rather than to point them to Christ's grace and love. They are people who describe themselves as Christians but do incredibly stupid and sometimes evil things, all in the name of saving someone from going to hell. We have tended to take on the responsibility of determining someone's direction at the end of life. Where will their soul go? And for whatever reason, we believe that's our responsibility as Christians, is to label people into where they'll be going, heaven or hell. And what God is saying, or what Jesus is saying in this parable, is that that's not our responsibility, that Jesus will take care of that. God will take care of that at the rapture, at when Jesus comes again. Jesus has a different, has a better way to deal with the weed-like people who are around us. The first line of defense is dealing with weeds, and dealing with weeds is to cultivate the fields before the wheat is planted. The ground is left bare during the summer months, and this way, although the weeds grow when there's moisture, as soon as the ground is dry and before the weeds are big, the farmer can go out into the field and cultivate the ground, and while at the same time enriching the ground with fresh oxygen and natural fertilizer. But there are other ways to remove or control weeds, but these methods involve the use of herbicides, and this can be problematic, even though herbicides will harm only one weed while leaving the wheat or other weeds unharmed. But if we spray to kill a weed, that can be harmful to natural predators such as ladybugs and moths and bees and birds. Also, some chemicals, when sprayed, can seep into the ground and harm the natural organisms there, such as the bacteria that makes fertilizer, or it can break down the weed stubble and make mulch, thus leaving the ground much more fertile and organic. So what can be done? Well, a very natural way of preventing weeds is to have a strong and thick wheat crop, and it will outgrow any weeds. And such a crop will cover the ground. Little or no space for weeds will grow. Weeds can really affect the quantity and quality of the wheat crop. If we think about it in terms of people, those, as Jesus calls the evil ones, the weeds that are among us, are the ones who are breaking the community and the relationship that we have with one another. And so if weeds are allowed to grow and multiply, they will suck out all the precious water needed to grow a wheat crop. And in the same way, those are the people that probably suck out the joy and the compassion and the love in a community who's trying to be like Jesus. When the wheat is deprived of water and nutrients, it produces a smaller head, and the kernels will not only be small, but they'll lack nutrients. Wheat is sold by the bushel and quality of the seed, and when a field does not yield as many bushels of wheat, and the size of the seed is very small, the profit for the farmer is likewise much smaller. But remarkably, Jesus doesn't offer a grand plan for getting rid of the weeds that plague the field of wheat. There's no protocol for waging war on weeds. He doesn't describe rules of engagement about marching into a field of wheat to root out the weeds. In fact, Jesus says that we should go about our own business. Our job is to be wheat, not weeds. Most importantly, we are not called farmers. Rooting up weeds is not part of our job description. And yet there are so many of us, so many who proclaim to be Christians, who spend a lot of energy in trying to be the farmers or trying to find the weed and removing it and never thinking about how they can grow as wheat. Grow together in a larger community of wheat. Discipleship was never meant to be done alone. And finally, trust in the farmer, in this case, God, to ultimately take care of the weed. It's our responsibility is to focus on being the best wheat that we can be. Leave the weeds to me, says Jesus. You just worry about growing up as wheat. It's kind of nice to hear that. It's kind of nice as we've listened to a lot of directives on how we should be disciples to be told this is something you don't have to worry about. And I'm glad because there's no clear answers about who is weed and who is wheat. And I trust that Jesus can handle that. We live in such a rush to judgment world, including inside the church. Inside the church are judged harshly for being too radical, or others are thought not being radical enough. Some are judged for embracing doctrinal errors, others appearing not to have any doctrine at all. Some are condemned for caring for the poor, others for not caring for the poor. It's even done in the most subtle ways with the use of social media. You'll see someone post a meme or make a comment or unfollow someone when they think they're wrong, never building growth and community or learning from one another. And this curbs the growth of the wheat. The point of this parable is not that Jesus is going to go easy on the weeds. No, he fully intends to put evildoers into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is serious words from Jesus. But we're not the ones who will put evildoers in their place. It will be Jesus. What Jesus is trying to teach us is to leave the judgments to him. He knows that we are consistently off the mark when we try to make an accurate assessment of the moral character of a friend or a neighbor, and so he orders us to put our energy elsewhere. Maybe put our energy in growing up to be faithful wheat or faithful Christians. Jesus says, don't rush to judgment. Let the weeds grow up with the wheat, and it will get sorted at the end. In the end, it's enough to know that we are seeds who have been planted by the Son of Man, and that we're part of a healthy harvest that will someday be reaped by the angels of God. Until then, we sow love and trust God with the pruning and the growth. I'm going to close with a short recollection of my time spent with over 40 children, at Rainbow Summer these last 2 weeks. I think it was the fourth and fifth graders. Jenny and I both helped lead chapel. They have chapel, and they have morning opening or morning devotions. They have an hour of chapel where they're spending time in the Word of God. As Elaine loves to tell us, that is their church. Rainbow Summer, the activities at Lumina. I was amazed at the amount of attention that they gave to both Jenny and I for an entire hour, learning about God's word and specifically about the responsibility they have to shine God's light or Jesus's light in our darkened world. It was an interstellar, out of this world theme. We weren't talking about wheat and weeds or planting or sowing. What we were talking about, though, was shining the light of Jesus Christ. And I think back on those 2 weeks, and I don't know about you, Jenny, but I remember that none of the kids ever asked who they shouldn't shine their light at. They weren't trying to separate people into those who receive Jesus' light and those who don't. I don't think that was important to them. But they seemed to know that all God's children needed to be touched by the light of Jesus Christ. And I thought to myself, we have so much to learn from these kids. Not only can we learn just their habit of dwelling in the Word for an entire hour, imagine what our lives would look like if we did that on a consistent basis. But I loved their openness to shine the light on God's people. They didn't take the responsibility of determining who was worthy of that light. And this gives me hope. It gives me a prayer. I'm hopeful that we are raising a generation that will bring back renewed hope and being disciples. And I also pray that as I saw them lead with love, that they may continue to do so unashamedly. And so, with that vision of these children rising up, may we do so for them. May we show them how it is to be wheat, and then shine like the sun to bring growth in love and grace. Alleluia. Amen. If you are able, I invite you to stand as we sing a song of praise, "You Are My King."